You know, there are several interesting shows on TV about jobs. There's dirty jobs, difficult jobs, impossible jobs. But I think probably the most challenging job that a man has ever been given is that of being a husband. We have no training, no experience, and no insight into what we're getting into. The only help that we get along the way is watching the married men in our family. That's like the insane teaching the crazies how to run the asylum. We got more instruction getting our driver's license than our marriage license. Young couple went into the county clerk's office to get their driver's license, and the lady, the clerk, was there, and she looked at both of them and asked the question, "Are you here at your own will?" The wife smiled. The husband froze. The wife turned to the husband and said, "Tell the lady yes." There were two gates in heaven. Under one gate, above one gate, was the sign for all the men whose wives have ruled over them. The other one said, for the men who were head of their household. The line of the sign that said, men whose wives have ruled over them, went on as far as the eye could see. There's one guy standing in this other line. Peter went over to him and he asked him, "Why are you in this line?" He said, "I don't know. It's where my wife told me to stand." New bride had just presented her new husband their very first meal, set it down on the table, and she said, "You're going to be so pleased." Said, my mother taught me how to be a wonderful cook. There are two things that I am great at cooking. One is beef stew and the other is lemon pie. The husband looked down and he said, "Well, which one is this?" Peter said, "You husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way." Now, the language that he used in communicating that doesn't mean you're ever going to get it done. It's a continuous action, which means husbands, continue living with your wife in an understanding way. Basically, the assumption is we'll never get there. It's an ongoing process. That makes being a husband a very difficult and serious job. Men, the lady that we married came with no instruction manual, no rebooting switch, no warning lights, no error messages that could pop up and tell us we've committed a fatal error, and there's not even a sign that warns us when we enter into terrifying waters, dangerous waters. We're just told to understand her and live with her in a way that reflects that understanding. That's like getting a job, and your job description is, do a good job. You get it? That's all you're told to do. There was a man that was walking on the beaches of California praying, and all of a sudden he spoke out loud and said, "God, I have a request." And all of a sudden the thunder roared, the skies parted, and the voice of God came out and said, "Yes, what can I do for you?" Said, "God, I would like a bridge built from here in California all the way across to Hawaii so I could drive over there anytime I wanted to." God said, "Well, that's very materialistic. Do you realize what you're asking, the logistics? Do you realize the amount of concrete and steel and getting those pillars to go all the way down to the base of the Pacific Ocean, on the bottom of that ocean? I can do it. But it is so materialistic. Why don't you take a moment and think of something else?" So the man took a moment and he began to reflect. He said, "Lord, I would like to be able to understand my wife. I want to know what she feels inside, what she's thinking when she gives me the silent treatment, why she cries, and what she means when I ask her what's wrong and she says nothing. And I want to know how to make her truly happy." The whole earth went silent. In just a moment, God said, "How many lanes do you want on that bridge?" Two men were in heaven, and they were talking about their lives, their wives, their relationships, and all. One man said, "You know, the trouble with life is, by the time I could read my wife like a book, my library card expired." Okay, well, here we are in part two of making marriages amazing. Our one simple verse has stood for both the men and the women, and it is this, out of Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Last week, in part one, we looked at what it meant for a wife to respect her husband and meet his needs. And we talked about his needs in a variety of ways. One was that respect. Another was his need to be needed. And then we also looked at the fact that he needed connection with his wife. He needed friends, and he needed to have a God that was essential. Now, if you missed that, you can actually go on our website and click on resources and under there, messages, and you'll be able to get and listen to this in your own privacy of your own place, wherever you are. But today we're going to look at the needs of the wife. Men, pay attention. There will be a test after this is all over. Before when God was creating these umbrellas of our need, he said in general terms, a man needs the umbrella of respect, and everything else can filter down from there. The wife needs the umbrella of love, and everything will filter down from there. Before Eve was created, God and Adam were walking through the garden, and God said to Adam, Adam, you need a helper. Adam said, yeah, I think you're right. He said, I'm going to make for you a woman. She will be wonderful. She will be beautiful. She will feed you grapes. She will rub your back. She will cook your meals for you. She'll clean up the kitchen. She'll take care of the kids. All you have to do is just kind of sit around and be the king of your kingdom. And Adam said, boy, that sounds great, but also sounds expensive. And God said, yeah, that is the deluxe model. It'll cost you an arm and a leg. Adam said, what can I get for a rib? I know it's an old story, but it's still worth sharing. It was Matthew Henry that said, the woman was not made from man's head to rule over him, nor from his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected by him, near his heart to be loved by him. God knew what he was doing when he took that rib and fashioned it into a woman, and from that woman would create for Adam exactly what he needed that would be able to touch his life so very deeply. Well, if we're commanded to love her, it is probably important for us to learn what that word means. If you've ever tried to define the word love, you have found it covers a multitude of opportunities. The territory that it can be used for expands far and wide. We can go everywhere from loving baseball to bluebell to fishing to our family to our chihuahua to Mexican food to our wives and husbands. And all of that is covered by that single word love. And yet, it's not all on the same level. We have a variety of levels within that love. If I were to ask you right now to give me a word, when I said love, what word would you think of? Or better yet, if I said define love, and we took a moment and we each wrote down a one-sentence definition of love, I can guarantee you what the men write down will be different than what the ladies write down, because we see love differently. What communicates love to me may not communicate love to my wife. What communicates love to her may not communicate love to me. It's unique within its definition. We each have a personal understanding of what love means when it's said to us. The old farmer, his wife said, do you still love me? And he said, I told you I loved you when I married you. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Probably won't work anymore for us. There's got to be some communication of that love in a way that it can be understood. This is what I mean by loving you. Now, there's a book that I have taken this next section from, and I give him the credit for it. I think it's a good book. If you ever have a chance to get it and get it on Amazon, it's called Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. Very good in explaining these things. But what he goes into is the fact that there are at least five avenues through which we can express love and the other person on the other side receive love. Not all of these relate to everybody. But one of these is probably going to give a signal to us that this is an avenue through which I need to be expressing my love to my wife. So it is my intention, men, that this is going to help. So pay attention from this point. First one is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. If your spouse's primary love language is words of affirmation, every time you validate your wife's feelings, back her in her stance, encourage her, tell her how much you love her and value her, you are communicating love. Your spoken praise and appreciation will fall like rain on parched soil. Before long, you will see new life sprouting in your marriage as your spouse responds to words of love. Now, everybody likes to be affirmed. Everybody likes to hear those words, but to everyone, it does not speak love like it does to someone that's their love language. That's the avenue through which they want to be loved. Second one is giving gifts. Giving gifts. Some wives may need something more tangible than words to express your love to her. Giving gifts is a nonverbal way of expressing your interest or care for her. It lets your wife know you were thinking about her. It's not the price or the magnificence of the gift. It is the thought behind the gift. Now, we all love gifts, but giving gifts and receiving gifts does not always say love when we go through that process, but for some it does. Third one is acts of service. Acts of service. Do you remember the old saying that actions speak louder than words? Well, in this category, they do, literally. It is about the fact that our wives want us to have to do things for her and to help her and to share her load. Nothing speaks more strongly to her emotions than a husband who will come in alongside of her and help her do life. Now, we again all like help, but to some it is very specific. The fourth is quality time. Quality time. The love language of quality time is more about one-on-one focus and interest in being together than anything else. If your wife's love language is quality time, by giving her undivided attention, one of the best ways you can show her you love her. Now, most of us men are pretty adept at watching TV, working the iPad, and listening to our wife all at one time. That is not quality time, I have learned throughout the years. That's not what we're talking about. The last one is physical touch. Physical touch can have a strong emotional power for some. That's why we pick up babies and hold them. Long before an infant understands the concept of love, he or she knows that they're loved, and it becomes a process of developing through. In marriage, the love language of physical touch includes everything from putting a hand on your wife's shoulder as you walk by, touching her arm as you're driving together, holding hands when you're walking, embracing, kissing, even physical intimacy. Years ago, there was a test done in a European bloc country. Surely we would not have done that here in our country, but it was done somewhere where they took in an orphanage half of the kids and divided them into the two groups. One half they gave the normal nurturing, holding, touching, feeding, all the things that you would expect them to do. The other half was deprived of touch. No one touched the babies. No one talked to the babies. Not even while feeding did they physically touch the babies. And after a while, the ones in this group ceased to thrive, and many of them died because they were deprived of the very thing that sustained their life. Well, to modify what Paul says, in courtship, we became all things to all women so that we might win one of them. Then we settle in to who we really are. We kind of adjust ourselves to get this person in our life, and then we settle in to what was there. You might find there are some difficulties that some couples might experience simply because of this difference. A nonverbal husband is going to struggle with a words of affirmation wife, because it doesn't come naturally to him. A socially withdrawn husband is going to struggle with a quality time wife because he'd rather be alone when she would rather have the time together. A non-touchy-feely husband is going to have a difficult time with a physical touch wife because he doesn't really get into that like she does. So we have to work through some barriers that prevent us from doing it, but we have to press on because the command is still there. Now, to also give you some help, men, sometimes you can pick up the love language avenue by things that they complain about the most. If you hear these things, it might give you a clue of what you're missing out on. First one could be, you mean you didn't bring me anything? You didn't even miss me while you were gone? That person might like gifts to express their love. We never spend any time together. We're like two ships passing in the night. Quality time. I don't think you'd ever touch me if I didn't initiate it. Physical touch. I can't do anything right around here. All you ever do is criticize. I can never please you. Words of affirmation. If you love me, you would do something around here. You never lift a finger to help. Acts of service. So if you hear those things kind of coming through the relationship, pick up on them. They might be indicating your wife's needs in a particular direction, and we have the opportunity to fulfill that. A man named Rick, 33-year-old truck driver, been married for 12 years, he wrote this. After I discovered my wife's love language, it helped me understand why she had been saying all along that I didn't love her. I knew I loved her. I told her all the time. The problem was that her love language is acts of service, and I never did anything to help her around the house. I guess I followed my dad's example, but then my mom and dad never did have a good marriage. Now I try to do things for her when I'm home. It's made a great difference in our marriage. It's just a simple thing of finding out what direction of my efforts would show my wife that I really do love her. I know I do. How do I get her to understand that? When we think romance, they might be thinking dishes. One night, a guy after dinner decided he was going to use this moment to wow his wife. So he started reading romantic poetry and said, I would climb the highest mountains to be near you. I would swim the deepest oceans to be by your side. I would cross burning sands to get to the other side of where you are. I would spend nights out singing love songs to you in the moonlight. And he went on and on and on. And after a minute, the wife simply kind of cut it off when she said, so, does this mean you'll do the dishes tonight? In Romans 5:5, the Apostle Paul says, God has poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In the same way, men, when you pour your love out onto your wife in the way that she understands that's love coming toward her, you will begin to touch her emotionally in ways that you've never been able to before. Finding that avenue. Paul wrote this, love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. See, love is actions. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we're supposed to feel love. It's never been put on the emotional level of something that we are to express. It's always been put on the level of actions. God demonstrated his great love for us, for in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say, hey, I love you. I've got great feelings about you. I hope you understand this someday. No, he said, let me show you my love. And Jesus then was the expression of God's love. Men, we have to express love through our actions in a way that our wife understands that it's coming from us. One of the biggest hindrances to loving is believing I have to feel something before I can love. How many people have you heard this? Well, we've just fallen out of love. Which basically means the emotional gauge has just been turned off. Because love is not supposed to be a feeling. It's supposed to be actions. And if we don't feel the love, we can always act the love because that's how God commanded us to operate. The second most damaging thing is to have love connected only with romance, which is the damaging aspect of what the movies and the books and all of that tell us today. It's got to be hot and heavy or it's not love. No, no. It is not to be aligned with romance all the time. It is to be an expression that changes that. The wife sat down on the sofa, scooted over next to her husband and said, you remember how we used to snuggle on the couch and you'd nibble my ear? And he said, yeah. She said, well, we're snuggling. And he got up. She said, where are you going? Well, I got to go get my teeth. How can I express my love? Well, first thing we've talked about is maybe finding that avenue that would let her best know I love you. Okay, find that avenue. But there are some things in general, some general things that we can do as men that are ways that we can express love to our wives. The first one is this: cherish her. Cherish her by helping her feel good about herself. Nothing makes a wife feel more beautiful than the fact that she is still beautiful to her husband. One man said, God, why did you make women so soft and beautiful? He said, that's so you'd love them. Then why did you make women so illogical and emotional? So they would love you. Husband and wife were getting ready for bed, and the wife was standing in front of the mirror, and she said, you know, when I look in this mirror, I see an old woman. I see wrinkles in my face. I see flab under my arms and fat on my legs. I see things drooping everywhere. Said, tell me something positive about myself that would just make me feel good before we go to bed tonight. Husband thought for a minute and nodded and said, in a very soft and quiet voice, well, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight. I didn't apologize to my wife this time before I did this, so I'm not saying anything bad. He who finds a good thing obtains, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Does she know that she is still to you that good gift that God gave you, and that the years have not taken that goodness away? Man, she needs to know that. She needs to know you think she is still the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And you need to give her the privilege to be cherished. You also need to appreciate her. Appreciate her. Appreciate her by recognizing what she does. Husband came in from work one evening, and kids were out in the front yard, still in their pajamas, caked in mud, toys strewn all over the yard. He looked in his wife's car. All the doors were wide open, and the neighborhood dog was asleep on the seat. He went over, the front door was wide open. He made his way through toys and debris, and he went in the living room. The cartoon channel was just blasting away, and stuff was everywhere. He went into the kitchen, and cereal and milk and bowls and stuff was just all over the floor and the counter, and he looked, and the dog's food was just spilled everywhere. There was a broken glass under the table. He made his way and went upstairs, again, avoiding the debris, went into the bedroom, and there was his wife lying in bed, still in her pajamas, reading a book. She looked and smiled and said, hi, honey, how was your day? He said, what is going on around here? She said, you know how each day you come in and you ask me, what have you done today? Well, today I didn't do it. So how do you show appreciation? How do you show appreciation? How do you reward someone who is essential to your life? I don't know. But it can start with telling them how valuable, how essential they are. So we appreciate, we cherish, and we also value them. We value her above all others. A prince and his family were taken captive by an enemy army. And they stood before the king, and the king said to the prince, if I release you, what will you give me? Said, sir, if you release me, I will give you half of what I own. He said, and what if I release your children, all that I possess? And if I release your wife, sir, for her, I would give you my life. The king was so moved, he released them all and let them go back home. On the way home, the prince was just starting and said, man, did you see that castle? How beautiful that was. How big the tapestries, the chandeliers, that throne, the robe and the crown. It was incredible. Did you see all of that? And his wife said, no. All I saw was a man who was willing to give himself for me. An excellent wife, who can find? Her value is far above jewels. Does she know that you consider her your most precious gift that God has ever given? She needs to know that. So husband, love your wife, cherish her, appreciate her, value her. One night in New York, Broadway, years ago, Mary Martin was probably in her 1,000th performance in South Pacific. And as she was waiting behind stage to go in, somebody brought a note to her. And she opened it up and it was signed Oscar Hammerstein, one of the writers, the creators of South Pacific. And all the note said was, Mary, a bell is not a bell until you ring it. A song is not a song until you sing it. Love in your heart is not there to stay. Love is not love till you give it away. After the performance, all the cast swarmed around her and said, Mary, what happened? We have never seen a performance like that from you. She read the note and she said, well, tonight I decided to give my love away. Gentlemen, what we're called to do is not possess love for our wives, but to give our love to our wives. It's not our possession. It's not something that we are responsible to hang on to. It's something that we are to give away. Or as Paul said, husband, love your wife. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for reminding us today of how essential it is that we obey you in what you've commanded us to do. Because in doing that, not only do you bless our lives, but you bless others' lives who are essentially tied to us. Father, by us being faithful to live with our wives in an understanding way and to love them in the way that communicates that love best, Father, we can bless our wives. Lord, may that become our desire as we leave this place today. Whatever it takes, whatever you will show us we need to do, Father, give us the courage to do it. And may they receive our love and joy. Lord, strengthen our homes, strengthen our families, strengthen our marriages, and from that, be able to strengthen our church as we continue to make marriages amazing. Thank you for this today. In Jesus' name, amen. Couple of things. Before you leave, Jan and I are going to be back there at the back. And believe it or not, from the website of Gary Chapman, there is a little quiz that he put on there that will help you learn your love language. We're going to give one to each individual and one to each couple. So not everybody walking out is going to get one. If you're a couple, do it twice. Each one can do their own thing on this. It's not a secret because you need to know this. But do it separately and then share that. And then talk about what that means. And maybe ask your spouse, how can I do this? What could I do that would show you I love you according to what we've discovered? You're going to find this fascinating, and it's going to be a fun thing to do this afternoon. And if you want to find that book, it's on there, Love Languages. You can know where to look it up and go from there. All right. Also, though, we have, and I'm looking to see, I haven't made eye contact yet. There's a couple of families were not here last week when we introduced the new families. Are you guys here today? Let me get my list. Okay. Gail and Susan Sneed, you guys here? They didn't think they would be here. Okay, they're not here. Kent and Debbie Brown? There you are. All right, well, you're half. All right, you're half. So wave from there. All right. We're going to present them together later because I want you to see them as a pair, as a team, and that will help you connect with them better. Okay? All right. I hope this has been an enjoyable time. Next week, we will kind of finish this up, and we're going to deal with conflict and how we deal with those disagreements that are inevitable, but they don't have to destroy us. And we're going to work through some good stuff next week. All right, Mr. J, it's all you.
I'm glad he remembered my name at the end. Isn't that great?
I wrote it down.
All right, let's stand and close. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Jesus, I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name.